Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Our thanks to Greg Brown, the play-by-play voice of the Pirates, who joined us from Bradenton, Florida in the previous half hour. In just a few moments, we'll go from Bradenton, Florida to Indianapolis, where Sandy Barber, the Penn State Athletic Director, is standing by to talk about several items on today's agenda. But before we get to any of that, we'll tell you that we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Kevin is driving another great Sunbury Motors vehicle just this week.
It's a 2015 Kia Rio 5-door. It is the perfect vehicle for if you're looking for something small, go back and forth to work, maybe the grocery store. Maybe you have a student that is looking for a reliable vehicle, but doesn't want to put down a whole lot of money on a brand new car. This is an opportunity at $265 a month with the 2.9% financing for 66 months. This is an opportunity to get a brand new car, 5-year, 60,000-mile warranty. And I mentioned it earlier, 14-inch tires on a vehicle that is rather small is unusual, but it makes the handling just absolutely perfect. And the smooth ride, you'll find that you're going a little bit faster than you would normally have guessed you were going if you're not overly careful. So depending on if you're looking for a perfect second vehicle or if you're looking for a first vehicle, for a reliable vehicle for somebody to go back and forth to school, check out the Kia Rio from Sunbury Motors. And you'll find the Kia dealership on Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Lots to choose from there on the lot right now.
Which now brings us to today's play-by-play call of the day.
Rebound comes off the boards. 2-on-2 Oilers. McDavid has a step to the net. Backhander short side. He scores! Connor McDavid scores both goals tonight and wins the game in overtime.
Edmonton Oilers, led by the first overall pick in last June's draft, Connor McDavid, sat out about, 25 games with an injury. He's back. Two big goals for him last night to lead Edmonton to that victory.
And that win was in
overtime
at Shikolemi.
Overtime.
Where's your Shikolemi call?
I don't have it that easily.
Come on.
Can't just I don't have it.
Come on. It's on your phone when we call.
It is not on my phone. That's actually too weird even for me.
Well, I don't know about that.
I'm telling you, that's a little weird even for me.
All right. Let's bring in Sandy Barber. We go out to Indianapolis, Penn State's athletic director. Sandy, welcome back. It is great to have you with us.
Well, thank you. I'm here in Indianapolis, just a couple hours away from the Lady Lions tipping off against Illinois in the Big Ten tournament tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. You've got a lot to do here as you go through the next few months, including, of course, eventually we'll get to what's going to happen with facilities down the road. That'll be a different day, a different conversation. Over the last few years, Penn State's gone out with the caravans and so forth. What is the plan this time through?
Well, we were in the process of looking at, you know, where we were going to go and what we were going to do, what the caravan was going to look like, 2016. But to be honest with you, Steve, we've just here, in the last few days, made a decision, based on where the state budget is, and its potential impact on Penn State, on the university and the conversations I, as a part of the president's, cabinet have been having. We've conferred with the Alumni Association, really feel that it's best to take a hiatus on the coaches' caravan, this spring. Certainly it's a very resource, intensive, endeavor, one that I know our alumni across the state and certainly in the region have enjoyed. But we've partnered with the Alumni Association. We conferred with them and really felt like it was not prudent at this time, even though it's not state dollars, it's not the appropriation that we're talking about, but that it would be best for us to not do the event this year, take a hiatus, look at other ways for us to engage with our alumni members across the country, and maybe take a fresh look at it next spring.
But at the same time, being good team players, is this the athletic department's way of saying, look, we're going to do our part too for the university?
Well, I absolutely do think so. Unless the budget gets the state budget situation gets resolved, we're going to be as a campus looking at a lot of different things. We've already the president and the provost have asked the entire campus to take a look at non-discretionary travel and some other things. So, athletics, although we receive absolutely no state appropriation, no state funding, we need to be good partners in this. And this is one way to do that. It is very resource intense, and we think that there are other ways that we can engage with our alumni this year.
I know you're at the women's basketball tournament. We'll discuss that in a moment. Men's basketball, a year ago at this time, you said that you liked the direction and the progress you had seen from Patrick Chambers in men's basketball. We revisit this a year later. What is your opinion of where things stand there?
Well, I think we've continued to build. I like the progress. I think there's year over year been great progress. I think we're starting to see it. Obviously, we have another great recruiting class coming in next year, but we've still got a lot of basketball to play this year. We've got two games left, and Pat and I have had a conversation just today. And we're all in. It's about the process. It's about today's practice and getting better. But we've got a chance to do something that Penn State's never done before in terms of where we're positioned in the Big Ten tournament. And I really, really like these guys and where they're going, and they've given us a lot to be really, really proud of.
On the women's side, they've had a lot of injuries this year, and they've had to overcome it, and yet it seems like they've played some of their best basketball over the last 3 weeks. You're going to watch today's game with Illinois. What's your thought on where that program is right now?
Well, Steve, you said it. I mean, we had the three ACL injuries before we even barely got into the preseason, and that's hard. But I tell you what, you've got to really give credit to these young women and how they've bounced back, and certainly Big Ten season, latter half of Big Ten season, you've seen us with big wins over Michigan State. We've beaten Iowa twice. We've owned Northwestern this year, I think we're in really good position. Obviously, these have been two seasons that are not up to Penn State standards in terms of women's basketball, and the absolute first person to tell you that or to acknowledge that will be Coach Washington. But I think with the experience that these players have gotten this year, we get the three injured student athletes back, and we add a really solid recruiting class to that. I think the trajectory is up for Lady Lion basketball as well.
You want the best experience, obviously, for every student athlete and the fan as well. How important is it to an athletic director, the Learfield Sports Director's Cup, and getting cup points?
Well, it's Steve. It's important because it's a metric. It's an indication of where we are from an excellence strength wise across the board. But I'm not going to put total stock in that. Okay, to a particular coach, we got to have Learfield Director's Cup points out of this. In the end, I think it's an indicator of where we are. But it's not something we talk about every day, or that we talk about in a season about how the season is progressing and where in the end, that sport might get us cup points. But it's a nice indicator of where we are as an overall program, and Penn State is one of those few programs that's had an opportunity to really be consistent about finishing in the top 10, top 15 year in and year out.
This is not a facilities question, but I talked to Scott Radisic when we had him on the show, I don't know, 2 weeks ago. And he said one of the really great meetings he had through this entire process is when he sat down with the student athletes, and it blew him away. When you hear something like that, what do you think?
I actually, Steve, was listening to your show when you had him on, and I heard him say that. And I mean, that's what we're about. It's and I love it when our alumni, who at one point in time were sitting in those exact same seats, say, boy, we are recruiting and enrolling and educating some of the finest young people in the world. And oh, by the way, they're pretty good lacrosse players or swimmers or football players or whatever it happens to be. And I think that's the beauty of Penn State. Is that that we can have it all, and we're doing it with student athletes who day in and day out are really showing us their character and the character development that they're learning at Penn State.
You were in the Pac-12 when they were the first ones to pass the contact rule with limiting football contact to 2 days a week, I think, for practice, and then the NCAA I think then adopted it a year later. Overall, the Big 12 is going to do two, but one is during the week and the other one's the game. And the Ivy League yesterday, and it's the Ivy League, they have to, they go by their own rules. They're going to say no contact during the course. The importance, I don't care what the sport is, of always putting player safety first while also maintaining the integrity of what people perceive to be the sport. How fine a line is
it's a balancing act.
Yeah,
it's a balancing act, but there's no doubt about it. When you look at student athlete safety, you have to put that first. And I think that we can say that it's the Ivy League, but it's still football, and they still have to. And I read with great interest some of the comments of the coaches in yesterday's media, and I think it's something that has to be looked at, and we have to look at this from every angle. But the truth of the matter is, every good football coach that you talk to is going to tell you that, and truthfully so, they're hitting less.
No doubt. You and I stand there, Sandy. We see it. You and I both know that.
Yeah. So the Ivies may be making a rule. The Pac-12 may have made a rule. Pac-12 made a rule because that's what they were all doing.
Right. It was Jeff Tedford, who was the coach when you were there, was already doing that. So.
Yeah, that's what our coaches were already doing, both for player safety reasons as well as competitive reasons, because you don't want your guys worn out getting to Saturday.
And, of course, everyone, has there been any conversation among athletic directors about the move by Michigan to take spring break and go to IMG for four practices?
Has there been any conversation about that? That's your question?
Yes.
Sure. There's been a lot of conversation about it, and I'm sure that the conversations at some places have been on both sides of the issue. Ooh, we want to do that, or how can he do that? And the rules allow it, and God bless it.
Yeah, he didn't break a rule. I mean, he did not break a rule. It's legal as to what they're doing. Yeah. I just was wondering if maybe in casual conversation it might have come up. That's all.
I've been involved in some casual conversations and some not so casual conversations about it with some of my colleagues across the country.
Are you? Now that you've gone a year and a half in this, you're more excited about what you have here at Penn State than when you started?
Steve, I every day I get more and more enthusiastic and more excited about what our opportunities are, just because there is such an incredible base, such an incredible institution, tradition, and history of who we've always been and what we've been about, and how we can take some of today's circumstances and make that even more of an advantage for our students. And I mean that in the classroom, I mean it in the community, and obviously I mean it from an athletic standpoint. We've got a lot of work to do. We've got to, we've got facilities work to do. We've got infrastructure work to do. We've got programming work to do around student development and really utilizing the power that is the Penn State alumni base, 650,000 strong. Nobody else has that.
No.
And what that the opportunities that that provides for our student athletes, immeasurable. So I get up every morning and I've learned something the day before, or we've discovered something, or we've created something the day before that, that makes today, makes the opportunity even bigger today.
It's a great moment in time to be here. Thanks so much. I appreciate the time you gave us, Sandy. Enjoy the game today. Should be a pretty good one with Illinois at 4 o'clock.
Absolutely. Thanks for the time, Steve. Always appreciate it.
Sandy Barber, Penn State Athletic Director, will come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors. Okay, so I think the primary news out of that is there'll be no coaches' caravan this year. Here's the issue. I mean, you know, each department has been told at Penn State that, look, anything that's unnecessary in terms of travel, as of right now, they want you cutting back. And all of us have received emails about this. It's not. I think the state appropriation to Penn State is about 4 to 5% of the total budget, somewhere in that neighborhood. The athletic department doesn't fall under this, but remember, in order to do this, this is in conjunction with the Alumni Association, and that does fall under the guise of additional travel. So, so they're not going to do it this year. They'll have other ways of getting to it, but that's the primary news out of that, I would think, in the end. The hitting part is interesting. Dartmouth stopped doing this in 2010. They finished third in 2013. They finished second in 2014 and tied for first in 2015. Okay. And most teams right now, this has been going on for a long time. Let me give you... How about, Kevin, if I give everybody a historical perspective on this? How about that?
All right. That sounds like a plan.
Okay. Joe Paterno, and I watched Joe, and I was on that practice field every day for a dozen years, watching how he went about his business. You have to give the players one day off a week. He gave them Sundays off. Monday, no pads. It was start to install what you want to do, a couple things you may want to, implement into the game plan that maybe you hadn't put in the last couple weeks, whatever you want to, to fit this particular week. You start putting that stuff in on Monday. Joe would then do some hitting on Tuesday. Now, the players, of course, way back when, of course, used to refer to it a long time ago as Bloody Tuesday. But they did some hitting. There's no question, some hitting. And then Wednesday, there was hitting, but less than Tuesday. And then Thursday, there was no hitting at all. So Joe was only hitting 2 days a week. When I talk about hitting and no tackling, let's define this for everybody so that you understand. No contact is, when they refer to that, it's actually physically taking somebody to the ground. So that's why when you hear the term pass thud, you go in, boom, you wrap, boom, form tackle, wrap, let go. It's like catch and release in fishing. Boom, and then let go. So you're not physically taking somebody to the ground, and you're not tackling the legs. When Bill O'Brien, they talked about the shortage of numbers here, he talked about pass thud, and everybody went, oh, my goodness, they started going crazy about this pass thud thing. This is where... I mean, I became incredibly confused during the show when people would call in and go, I'm telling you, this pass thud thing is the reason why they're not tackling well. And I would sit here and I was completely confused by the comments. Totally confused. You want to know why? Because Joe did pass thud all the time. All the time. He'd get them together in training camp.
And the first time through, every year, he'd do that circle in the center of the field and explain, this is how you do it. Okay? You boom, you hit, you wrap, and then you let go. Nobody goes to the ground. Nobody. And Joe explained that every single year, first time through at Pastlet. And Pastlet was done all the time here. The only difference was nobody ever talked about it. Bill mentioned it because it was specifically brought up with limited numbers. How much do you hit? So he brought it up. Well, James Franklin, same thing. You know, Penn State, no hitting on Sunday, no pads. Monday, they've got the day off. Tuesday, they do some hitting. Wednesday, they do some hitting. And Thursday, none. The NCAA rule right now is contact 2 days a week. In the Big 12, it's 2 days a week, except the game counts as the second one. And the Ivy League will have none until game day. As Sandy Barber correctly said, this is what coaches were already doing anyway. So do I consider it a big deal? Not really. But then again, as somebody who's watched it for years, every single day, I wouldn't think it was a big deal.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Our sports bozo of the day. It's an easy call today. Vontaze Burfict. He actually blamed his teammates for the loss to the Steelers. They said, don't you feel like you're responsible for it? He says, no. He says, somebody else was supposed to have some responsibility for that, not me. Really.
He reminds me of school in the summertime. No class.
Excuse me, pal. It was your 15-yard penalty that's helped set up a chip shot field goal. 15 yards the Steelers didn't even have to earn. He is a piece of work. He says his teammate, there was a specific teammate that he would not name that did not deliver. Well, okay then. He didn't say who it was. He said that that when it came down to what he was doing, he said that, said, quote, no, I don't. According to him, most of the blame for the loss should fall on a teammate whom he didn't name. He said there was only a minute left in the game, Burfict said. Coach always says, trust a teammate to pack your parachute. And I trusted my teammate. I don't want to say any names, but I trusted my teammates to execute and finish the game. Oh, boy. Maybe referring to Jeremy Hill for the fumble.
He would not be part of my football team for multiple reasons, but that one might be the final straw at that point.
It's your job, actually, to pick up for your teammate when something happens.
Exactly.
Team game. He said, one question that Roger Goodell asked me, how do you feel about your opponent when they get hurt, Burfict said. And I said, in the moment, you can't care about your opponent because if you care about them, you're going to mess up your assignment. His point was, I have to care about my opponent. I understand where he's coming from because if you care about your opponent, you're probably going to play cleaner. Burfict also added that Goodell told him to, quote, play cleaner.
Does he think about things before he says them, or does he just say it? I mean, there is no filter there. There is no, I wonder how this is going to sound if I say it this way. No, it just comes right on out.
As you can see, the nomination for Sports Bozo of the Day ended at that moment.
Oh, wow, that didn't take long.
Winner. Back one moment to the practice thing about the Ivy League not going to have tackling during the week. It's not even as if you're going to have no contact.
I mean, you'll have contact during the week. I mean, the pass thud, you do make contact, believe me. But, by the way, the Phillies and Toronto ended at a 4-4 tie today. Welcome to another year of spring training baseball. Yeah, we're done. All right.
That's the end of nine, and we're still tied at 4-4. Good night, everybody.
Have a good one. See you later. Well, as I said, Joe Paterno did pass thud forever, every year. I was around. And then Bill O'Brien did. The difference was they made a big deal out of Bill O'Brien doing it because he was asked about it. You know, how are you going to handle with limited numbers contact in practice? So Bill, of course, talked about the pass thud deal, and everybody's like, oh, my God, pass thud. And this is where, I mean, I became confused both on the show and on the pregame show every time I was asked about it. By the way, our numbers are open at 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565. But then you do have this moment where you sit back and say, okay, wait a minute. You got to remember you see things people don't see. Because everybody kept making a big deal out of it, and something that was commonplace to me for over a decade, everybody was making a big deal about it. I thought, well, why do you make a big deal about this? I've done this forever here. But then I realized it had never really been talked about before. Oh, okay. So I think at that point I started giving better answers about it because I was looking at people like, why asking this? This happens here all the time. Bill was the same as Joe, where he took Sunday off, then he practiced Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Some contact on Tuesday, some contact on Wednesday, none on Tuesday and Thursday. James goes, no contact on Sunday. Monday's an off day. It's an all-academic day. Then Tuesday, some contact. Wednesday, a little bit. And then Thursday, no contact. And when we're talking about contact, we're talking about tackling. And I'm talking about tackling, and the definition of this is that you stay off the ground. And you don't tackle legs. That's been a standard for a long time. The number of coaches I've heard over the years say, look, stay off the legs, or don't bring them to the ground. Where you can hit them, boom, hit, wrap, and release. And that's what the Ivy League does, and that's what the Ivy League's going to do, and that's what Dartmouth's been doing. I mean, you know, Kevin mentioned that robot. Is it a robot you mentioned? I've seen it.
That's the way it was described to me, as a robot.
Yeah. Yeah, so
a remote control.
It's out of control. Catch it.
See, that would be fun to me. I would mess with people.
I can see you at the controls of it right now.
He's going, I am not going to be tackled.
Yeah, and of course, you know, and there's always been like tackle the stick, and they've got a, you know, tackling dummy on a stick, and you got to wrap and, you know, lift it, release it, move on. I mean, they do all that stuff. Larry in Unityville. Hi, Larry. How are you today? How's life in Liberty in Unityville?
Oh, it's great. Hey, thanks. Hey, listen, I love your show. I want to ask you a question, something I always wondered. You were talking about yesterday about Sam Bradford and, you know, getting that deal for Philadelphia.
Yes.
If another team would have offered him a dollar more than Philadelphia did, would he have to take it, or is that his decision if he wants to switch teams or not?
That would have been his decision, Larry. So in other words, he can make a decision to say, okay, I'll take less money to stay here as opposed to going someplace else. But they had until about March 9th to get this done. So the clock was ticking a bit. So they gave him $26 million guaranteed over the 2 years. It ends up being $36 million with a series of incentives, which, of course, part of the incentives would mean he'd stay healthy to do it. And I think he probably felt short-term that was the best deal for him. Now, at the end of 2 years, Larry, if he has two really good years, now we'll see how he decides to play it out.
Okay. All right, thanks. Hey, and one other thing that I thought would be, that I would be really interested in, if as we get closer to the college football season, I would, and I don't know, you know, you had talked before about how much you can talk about recruits, but I would love for just for a minute just to talk about, the kids that are on the team, where they came from, you know, maybe some of the accolades they may have had in high school. If that's something you could do, I think that'd be really interesting to me.
Excellent idea.
Okay. Thanks a lot. I appreciate your show.
Larry, that's an excellent idea. We'll do that. That's really well thought out. Thank you so much for the suggestion.
Okay. Hey, thanks. See ya.
You bet. Larry from Unityville joining us at 1-800-795-9565. Don't forget, by the way, Bucknell tomorrow night. Both the men's and women's teams are home, by the way, in the Patriot League tournament. The men's team will take on Holy Cross tomorrow night at 7, so come on out for that game tomorrow night. It's part of the quarterfinals of the Patriot League tournament. The Nittany Lions, by the way, play tomorrow night at 9. It'll be an 8:30 airtime here in the broadcast facility of Champions. Meanwhile, Eagle 107 will have the game tomorrow night with the forever outstanding Doug Birdsong, who owns Stock and Wendy's.
All right. There's some great hunting there in Unityville up there. I've been up there a few times
really?
In North Mountain. Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
State beautiful. Game lands up there.
Oh, it's great, Evan. That was nice. Larry had a really good idea. I like that a lot. We will do that. 1-800-795-9565. Yeah, Larry mentioned the recruiting part. Once they sign, I can talk about them all I want, but until they sign, in terms of the recruits, I can't until they do because it would be a violation. What Larry is talking about is that once they got here and they've signed, going through their accolades, and he's absolutely right about that, and it's a really good suggestion. That way people know what they're who they're going to be watching. Dick in Milton, my friend, how are you today? It's great to hear from you.
Good. I'm just going to make two comments. I'm on my way right now because I'm going to lose you pretty soon to State College. We're on our way to Iowa for the wrestling tomorrow on the
awesome.
Penn State Mad bus. Now, my other thing about contact, you know, the Phillies have had no batting practice contact for years. Look how it's turned out for them.
Oh, that's harsh. That's harsh.
Oh, that is beautifully cruel.
I couldn't pass it up. And I was going to ask you, and I'll try to hear it. I'll try to listen. But, okay, let's go. Let's say we go for the no contact, and you say Penn State's done it for whatever 2 days of contact or tackling contact or whatever.
Yeah.
How would you rate the overall tackling in college football? Because I think by and large, a lot of it's missed tackles, I know that, but I think tackling on a whole has gotten somewhat worse by a lot of guys. That's just me.
I completely agree with you, Dick.
Me too.
But you know, I think you're spot on with that. But we're in such a concussion era right now. I think everybody's looking for ways to
minimize,
cut back on it, except on minimize. That's a better word. Minimize it during the week, and it's such a fine line between the game we love, the hitting that we love to see that's part of it, and the safety part of it. There's a real fine line, and I agree with you. Do I think tackling has gotten worse? Yeah, I do. But how you fix that, I don't have a solution to it because I know where everything's trending.
Okay, let me ask you another question then. So let's say we cut back in football on the defensive end, at least for the most part in practices.
Right.
What other sports and what things do you think might end up being curtailed in a sense like that, in wrestling and hockey, in different things only because of the fact there's concussions?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's my question. Where's it going to go next?
Well, okay, hockey practice, for one thing, is usually just hockey practice, and there's not a lot of hitting in hockey practice. Let's start with that. Now, wrestling, now you wrestle. And you wrestle with the headgear and the whole thing. You wrestle, so it happens. Soccer, it's going to be the same. In soccer, you may get like head-to-head contact sometimes, but actually heading a soccer ball sometimes gives you a concussion. And the other one, let's see, I'm trying to think. I'll tell you, here's one. Just by inadvertently swinging the stick a lot, men's lacrosse has a lot of contact with the head with a stick.
Right.
You know, I was thinking field hockey as well, not with the stick, but the heads are down a lot of times.
Yeah, they're down, Kev, but you know what?
I don't know that it's a problem in field hockey.
Yeah, they don't. I don't see when the women play. I don't see them going. And I've done them on TV. They're mostly looking at the ball, and there's not a lot of head-to-head contact. There's not a lot of checking in it. It's always going after the ball and not going after the person with the ball.
Well, as I say, I'm just wondering. It's like, is it going to be like a snowball rolling down the hill? It's going to be hard to stop.
With liability right now, Dick. I think that part where you mentioned where it's a snowball going downhill, it's going to be hard to stop. I think because of liability at the moment, that's where it's headed.
Well, I'll give you an example. At the Penn State wrestling matches at least twice this year, and maybe more, at least Penn State that I saw, when there was a possible head injury or concussion, they stopped the match, took the kid in the locker room, at least in the Ohio State match, and they stopped the match for 5, 6, 7 minutes while they evaluated and examined him. And that's never, and I'm not telling you it's not a safety that I would go through. That's not where I'm going with that. I'm just saying I never used to see that. I mean,
None of us used to see that in anything. I mean, in anything. But now it's.
But it happened twice during a Penn State match that this year alone, that home matches.
Now you're seeing more independent observers at the, let's just say, football. Football's the primary one. The NFL started doing it, and a couple of colleges have been doing it. For example, in the Penn State Northwestern football game over a year ago, the one that was here, Dick. Yeah. Northwestern actually had their own observer at the game, and they pulled a kid out of the game on defense because they thought he had a concussion, and he had to be examined in the locker room. Not a lot of people didn't know it at the time, but that they did.
Well, as I say, I don't know where this is going to go, where it's going to end, but I'll guarantee you're not going to get 100,000 people at any stadium, Beaver Stadium, to watch kids play video games. I guess I'll leave it go at that.
I might go see that.
Kevin would go. He's an esports guy. Dick and I are sports guys, Kevin. We're not esports guys.
I know they put that. I hope that's not why they put those damn big screens at the end of the stadiums, because that's where this was going to go.
I'm telling you, Dick, if it weren't for esports games, there would be no sports for me to play at all in the world.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go. I'll let you guys go. I'm going to lose you here. I'm up over Harry John's. So I'm going to lose you.
Hey,
call you
safe trip,
day.
Dick.
See ya.
Safe trip and have a great time out in Iowa City, okay?
That's one of those Fullington bus drivers. I'll trust those guys. See ya.
You got that right. Thanks. I hope he gets Godfrey, because Godfrey, like, he'll make the trip go fast. But I'll tell you right now, Dick is about to put in some serious, serious mileage coming up. But it's all on Interstate 80, people. I-80 goes from... right, just north of State College, right into Iowa City, into beautiful Coralville. And the last time I was in Coralville, there was this guy sitting at the bar at the Marriott, drowning his sorrows in what was a tough night. And you know who that person was? In our bar, as we looked over at him?
No idea.
Jeb Bush. True story. Just a month ago. We'll wrap it up in a moment. We run into all sorts of people on these extravaganzas. But Dick is about to take the I-80 trip of all I-80 trips. State College, Iowa City. No turns. On News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. I want one.
Like the crazy news of the day. The Knicks, this is on ESPN.com. The Knicks will not sign Jimmer Fredette to another 10-day contract. This is one of the like eight headlines of the day. What? Where's that news? A bit player coming off the bench, doing not much for a basketball team that is doing not much. That's only, oh, I don't know, seven games out of the last playoff spot right now. Seven games out of the last playoff spot behind the Detroit Pistons. That's 2-8 in its last 10 games. Why is that news? Who cares? I mean, I'm sure Jimmer Fredette cares. It's, you know, obviously it means it's a trip back to the D League, so I mean, I feel bad for that. But where do they come up with this stuff? What, you know what I find more, if we're going to talk about the NBA, you know what I find more interesting? Okay. Guess who is one of the bottom 10 players right now in the NBA in shooting percentage outside of the paint? I'm talking bottom 15. I think he's 13th from the bottom. So he's 150 out of 163. Okay. Guess who that player is? And shooting percentage outside the paint, guess who is in the bottom 13 at 33%? Oh, come on, you can guess.
No, I have no idea.
LeBron James. His shooting has gone to you-know-what in a handbasket. Outside of the lane this year, outside of the key area, he is shooting 33%. He is 150th out of 163 players. How about that one? Do you realize that?
I just put a... you got to read the headline. Can you read that headline?
What about Cespedes? Yeah. Yoenis Cespedes bought a pig for $7,000. He's not allowed to keep the pig. So what he did was he sold the pig. He then sold the pig to a butcher.
That's a story?
I mean, that's a story on ESPN.com. Are you kidding me? I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, I feel like Will Ferrell in Zoolander 1. Am I taking crazy pills?
I find it frightening that you saw Zoolander 1.
I thought it was funny. I liked it. John Boyd playing the dad.